This is the 4501 podcast, episode 25, apps to help you speak abroad.
Hey, Tony, how's it going, man?
Mark, I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for asking. How are you?
That there's still trees in the background, and there's still birds in the background that I can hear also.
Oh man, you can hear them again. At least this is like 7 o'clock at night, so I don't think anybody should be cutting their grass this week.
You never know. You know, it's cooler in the evening, so there could be some lawn mowing occurring at this hour.
You're right, you're right. We'll have to wait and see though.
All right. Well, getting to the topic of today's episode, we will be talking about what, Tony?
Apps to help you communicate abroad, which we're just going to talk about a couple ones right up front here, ones that I use all the time when I go overseas. The first and primary one is Google Translate. I'm sure you've all at least heard of that. And the second one is Duolingo, which is a language learning app.
Okay. So those are the apps that we have used in the past. Like, I've used Google Translate, and actually what I like about Google Translate is that you can actually download the dictionary, right? You can download it to your phone, so you don't need to pull data, like data on your cell phone when you're doing it.
Yeah, that's a really important thing. I'm glad you brought that up. That's the one thing you want to do when you go to a foreign country where English is not the primary language, is to download the data offline so you don't have to have the data connection. Good call, Mark.
Yeah. So one thing I just wanted to ask you, when I went to Italy, they spoke pretty good English there. They didn't really have any issues with that. But when I went to France, English is pretty good there too. But those are pretty big, like, touristy cities. Mm-hmm. And so you going to obviously less touristy spots, like, I don't know, Czechoslovakia or no, you didn't go to Czech. Sorry, it's not Czech. You went to the Czech Republic.
Czech Republic.
The Czech Republic, and you go into, like, what, do you go to Croatia? I forget where you went.
No, I have
went.
Not been there.
But, like, you know what I'm saying, like, less yes. touristy spots.
Yeah. On the surface level, it seems like there wouldn't be English speakers in those locations, but surprisingly, there is. I think, in general, though, you're on the right track, though. The more off the beaten path you go, the less English speakers you tend to find. So, I think the hardest place for me to ever communicate was probably in South America, specifically Colombia. Some of the places that I went to, the hardest situation I ever had was trying to get a bus ticket at a bus station where the people at the counter only spoke Spanish. And I went on my Google Translate app, which is awesome to have. I had the offline data and all that stuff, but I couldn't remember what was on the app in order to form a sentence in Spanish to talk to the guy. And even if I did do that, whatever he responded with in Spanish, I wouldn't understand that, you know? So, luckily there was somebody there who knew English and Spanish who did the translation for us in real time, which was super, super helpful. So I'm really fortunate for that guy.
Yeah. I think I'm reminded of the time you're trying to do laundry in Germany. And the machine ate your money. Was there? Yeah. Do you remember what episode of the vlog that was?
133.
You're just guessing.
Yeah, I'm totally guessing.
Well, if you want to know the story of the laundromat and Tony, go find his episode. Do you remember what city that was?
It was not in Germany. Actually, it was in Austria. Vienna.
Okay, Austria. But was there like a language barrier kind of there too?
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
That was also a hard place. Because between actually Austria and Germany and parts of Switzerland and northern Italy, they all speak some form of German. And there's people who speak English, obviously, but I think they are pretty proud of their language.
So one question, kind of stemming off from that. Does Google Translate, so you have different dialects. So does Google Translate go into those different dialects, or is it just the main languages? Because I'm not quite sure.
Not that I know of. I think...
When you were in Austria, could Google Translate manage the translation pretty decently?
Yeah, and it's enough, I think, to get by in general. It, like, for the most part, from my understanding, now I don't know German. I took like one semester in high school and I forgot it all. But then talking to people who are from Switzerland who know German and who are from Germany and know German, they in general can understand each other. I don't think there's anything that we can relate to as English speakers, though, like, because accents are different than dialects, right?
Well, accents definitely, but it may be terminology. So, like, some people call soda soda, some people call soda pop.
Okay.
Some people call sprinkles sprinkles, but what are the jimmies? Some people call them jimmies.
Yeah.
Jimmies. So I think maybe not necessarily dialect, but just terminology. I think that's the closest thing to it.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, even with those people, they can at least explain to each other what that word means, right? It's not that big of a barrier for them.
No. You're right. Yeah. Absolutely right. Okay, so let's go back to the tech focus of this podcast. So you talked about Google Translate and Duolingo. So why do you like those apps? And actually, how did you find out about those apps, put it that way?
Yeah, that's a good question. Google Translate, I feel like, no, that's not pre-installed on your phone. I must have just typed into Google, like, translate something from Spanish to English. And they do it there, actually. You don't even need the app. You can do it on a website, on a browser, or your laptop or whatever. Or on your phone browser. Anyway, I probably just did that and then said you could do this in an app, so I downloaded the app on my phone and found out about it that way. Anyway, regardless, having that capability internationally is critical, like I said, in those situations. There's so many features in Google Translate. Mark, did you say you haven't usually... Well, no, you have used Google Translate, right?
I have used Google Translate, but I have not used Duolingo.
Duolingo, okay. We'll get to Duolingo, but... So there's so many features in Google Translate. Like I said, one of my favorites, and I think I put this in another vlog, is how do I even explain that? Like, image processing. Like, you can hold your phone up to something that is in another language, and in real time, it'll translate the text to English.
Was that Google Translate?
Yes.
That's right. I do remember that. Like, basically, it's augmented reality, right? So you use the
augmented cameras. Reality.
Yeah, so you use the camera's, your phone's camera, and it will actually read like a text of benvenido, okay,
mm-hmm.
which is welcome, mm-hmm. right? And so if it sees the word benvenido, then it'll actually translate it on your screen from that to welcome.
Yeah, exactly. It's really cool. And you can take a picture of something too and translate it that way. Also, another feature of Google Translate is if you do have a data connection, meaning if you have Wi-Fi or a cell phone connection abroad, you can have a conversation in real time with somebody with a feature in the app. So what that would look like is me speaking into the app in English and then the app speaking to somebody in Spanish. And then that person thinks about what you said, they make a response in Spanish, and the app translates it back into English. And that's all done pretty much in real time without any need to push a button or type anything in. So that's another really cool thing. Super powerful.
So, yeah, absolutely. Going off of that, I think Google has been kind of the main drivers of trying to break down the language barrier. Because I remember during one of their keynote addresses, and I forget which... if it was a keynote or it was some sort of developers conference or something, but when they were releasing their new Google Pixel Buds or something like that, like the earphones,
mm-hmm.
there is one feature in, I think they were called the Pixel Buds. I don't remember what exactly they were called, but the Pixel Buds had a feature where you can actually put one earpiece in your ear and the other earpiece in the other person's ear, and you actually have a conversation. So like it would translate what you were saying into a different language and the other person would hear the translated version and vice versa.
Oh, that's so cool.
So it could actually be used as like an intermediary between two people who are trying to converse. And I think they had like 200 different languages supported at this point when they explored it.
I find that so cool. And as technology gets better and better, that'll just keep on improving. Cause I mean, there are some stuff that it's near perfect, but it's not quite there yet in my experience.
Yeah, there are some nuances because I remember when I was trying to translate something in Chinese for Google Translate, when I actually talked to the person who knew my Chinese, well, it was my Chinese teacher, I should say that. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to look something up in Google Translate, and she would always say, like, this is a very, like, formal way of talking. Like, it wasn't necessarily what people would use in like, common terminology. Like, it was, like, so I think that's one of the flaws of Google Translate, is that maybe the, not necessarily the dialect, but kind of, I don't know if it's, is that syntax? I'm not quite sure what the correct definition is,
right,
there.
Right.
But it's kind of like the word usage or the word choice isn't necessarily appropriate for the setting.
Yeah.
You know?
So
like if you were saying, like, I guess the equivalency of, like, if you're going to a priest or someone who is really, you need to show a lot of reverence to, instead of saying, hello, sir, maybe you would say, like, what's up?
Yeah.
Or something like that, you know? Like something not as appropriate as you should be.
Right, yeah. Probably just vocabulary then in general would be that classification, what you're talking about.
Yeah, but I mean, that's probably one of the flaws with these apps. And I don't know if, like, if you've ever felt that way, where you use this app and someone, like someone you were trying to communicate with, gave you like a chuckle because, like, oh wow, that's a funny way to say that or something.
Yeah, not my experience, but I'm sure it's happened before.
No, yeah.
But yeah, so that's the main features of Google Translate, and obviously you can just type in some words and translate it that way. I think, like you said, there's lots of languages, even some like dying languages. I think they have like Hawaiian on there, which is really cool. And yeah, I recommend downloading it. It's free. That's the best part. You don't have to pay a penny for it.
Okay, so let's transition to Duolingo, which is it super similar to Google Translate?
No, not at all. This is a language learning app, so the reason you want to download Duolingo is to teach yourself another language. And I don't have the number of languages that they support, but it's a good amount. And let's say you want to learn Italian. You can go on Duolingo, download the files for Italian, and every day, or they recommend you do it every day for consistency, right? Because the more you practice, the better. Every day you'll get a notification on your phone to practice anywhere from, like, you know, 1 to 5 lessons, which could take you up to a half an hour to complete. And the idea here is, you know, in maybe a half a year time or a year time, you'll at least have some ability going from, like, knowing nothing about the language to being able to speak it in a foreign country to somebody, you know, foreign. So I've actually been doing this since January. One of my New Year's resolutions was to learn Spanish. And pretty much every day since January, I've been studying Spanish on this app.
That's good.
And they say that every 34 hours you spend in the app is equal to one semester of a Spanish course or X language, you know?
Okay.
So at this point, I don't know, maybe I did a couple semesters of Spanish.
So 34 hours equates to one semester?
Yeah.
Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
So there's 15 weeks in a semester, averaging 3 hours a week. That's the 45. So 45 hours of class time per semester. That's about right.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you said you're never going to do math on the podcast.
Well, that's easy math for me. I can count 1 to 10, but I can't count 10 to 20, so.
Okay. But yeah, it's, at this point, as just a review of the app, I think I'm much better at reading the language than speaking it, because that's one flaw I've noticed is you don't do a lot of speaking. You do a bit of listening, actually a good amount of listening and a good amount of writing, but not so much speaking. So that's one of the pitfalls I see with that app.
No, that makes sense. I mean, how could an app, I don't think we're there yet as far as getting the accents of different languages and kind of the correct pronunciation. I feel like if the app isn't coded in a specific way, then it'd be really tough to make sure that you're saying something correctly.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, everybody has a different voice, and I'm sure Google's working on this problem, right, with Google Translate app too, because they have to be able to detect and translate those phrases and words. So that being said, there are actually I've noticed a couple lessons where you do have to speak into the app, and it does its best to say if you've done it or not, like if you said it right or not. So that's I guess, a work in progress for Duolingo.
Yeah. And so is this app free? I forget if you mentioned that.
It is free. I have to think about this, actually. It's free. Maybe there's ads. I forget. Yeah. The free version has ads. And the paid version, which I did sign up for in the beginning of the year, just as like an incentive to, you know, if you spend money on something, you're more probably, what am I trying to say? If you spend money on something, you're more likely to use it. So I bought the pro subscription and I got rid of the ads. And I think you have the ability to download offline files then as well.
And so these are like offline lessons?
Yeah. Yeah. So that way when, and it makes sense because if you are traveling abroad, you don't have a good internet connection, then you could still practice the language.
No, that's good. And so how many languages did you say you, or do you think Duolingo has?
A bunch. I think maybe, like I said, like Google Translate translates Hawaiian, which is like a dying language. They might also have that on Duolingo.
But Duolingo isn't owned by Google, right? It's a totally different company.
Right, right.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's interesting. So after Spanish, what's the language you want to learn next?
Oh, man. Spanish is hard enough to know or to learn. I think I'm just going to stick with that for now.
I gotcha. Well, I mean, it's good that you're learning a different language. It's also tough, right? I mean, one of the things that I found is that if you aren't able to practice the language consistently, then you forget it.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons that you should be practicing every day with these type of things.
So for Duolingo, are these lessons, like, can you, like, if you don't have a half an hour to commit to it, right? How does a lesson, can you break down a lesson for us?
Sorry, you can ask that question again. I was counting 25, 50. They have 100 languages.
Okay.
And it looks like different dialects as well.
Gotcha. So can you break down how like a lesson works? And so if you like pause in between a lesson, what happens? Or can you pause, or do you have to finish the lesson in one go?
Yeah, good question. There's like 15 questions per lesson, and it usually takes you maybe like 5 minutes to get through each lesson, 5 to 10 minutes. And if you do exit the app and have it background it, it'll save your progress. But otherwise, if you like close out of the app, then you're going to lose that progress. And then once you get through all 15 questions, you get like 10 experience points. And you set a daily goal of how many experience points you want to get per day.
Okay.
So it could either be 10, 20, 30, 40, or 50. So that's 1 through 5 lessons. And once you meet that daily goal, you're good to go for the day. You don't have to practice till tomorrow. So you get that notification the next day to practice. And that's basically the way it works. Specifically, you'll be doing translations from your language of choice to English and back. And also some of those verbal audio listenings. Like, you don't read the text, you listen to somebody speak it, and then you have to write down what they said. So you're not only typing in English, you're typing in that foreign language as well.
Gotcha. And so are you, okay, so after taking the Spanish classes, do you feel like you're confidently able to speak with a person speaking Spanish, like hold a conversation with them? So I guess when you went to South America, were you doing this?
That's actually something that inspired me to do it, because when I went to...
Okay, you went to South Africa. Oh, South America.
South America, yeah. That's when I was serious about it. What was your question?
Obviously, you started this after you went to South America, right?
Yes.
But do you feel like you, at this point, after doing it for X hours, do you feel confident in holding a conversation with a Spanish person or a person speaking Spanish?
Yeah, so after doing this for 5.5 months, I'm going to say no. I don't feel confident yet. I can have I can speak maybe a couple different phrases here and there and understand what they're saying, but I wouldn't consider it a conversation just because it takes me so long to think in my head first and then respond. And that's just not a flowing conversation at this point for me.
No, that makes sense. I mean, the one thing I know about Spanish is the only thing I need to remember for my own edification is the phrase, I don't know. So in Spanish, that's yo no sé, I don't know.
Mm.
In Chinese, that's doibuchi, so I don't know that. In German, that's verstehen Sie nicht, so I don't know.
Oh, man, that's...
Yeah.
I'm surprised you know all those languages, and that's actually a really good idea to know at least a bit. Something to say in the foreign language to these people, right?
Yep.
Smart.
So, I mean, that's the only thing I know.
I don't know.
You know, that's the only phrase you need to know, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and that's like, it shows at least some level of respect when you're traveling, because...
Yeah, let's go into that a little bit, because I do feel like if you're traveling abroad, talking in their native tongue it brings you into a better standing with the person. Because I found when I was in Italy, and Paris actually, if I said... buongiorno or something like that, or bonsoir, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If I said hello or goodbye or good evening or whatever, they treated you a lot better than if you just said good evening or if you spoke English.
Yeah.
You know, because I think it does tell them that you're interested in their culture and their language, and you're making an effort to try to adapt to their ways as opposed to making them kind of lose their kind of sense of identity and adapt to your own language, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. And I've had that same exact experience as you before, multiple times, yeah.
Yeah?
You're right.
Do you have a specific example or not really?
No, just in general, like knowing a bit of the language, you get a much more positive response from people. Like,
yeah, they seem more friendly.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
They're not like mean to you.
No, for sure. So yeah, that I'm really glad we brought that point up.
When you went to India, did this app help at all or not really?
A couple times, but the thing about India is a good, I don't know if I should say majority, but a lot of people do speak English there.
Well, it used to be an English colony, right? So I think that those people who live in India do speak they're not great at English, but it's understandable.
Yeah. Yeah. You can.
Right.
Get by with what they're saying.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Translate came in most handy in South America.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's tough. Is there a time where Google Translate has ever failed you? Or Duolingo? Oh, I guess Duolingo is more lessons, but I guess for Google Translate, was there ever a time that it failed you?
I wouldn't say let's just say this. When you don't have a data connection and you want to have like an actual conversation with somebody that, you know, like I talked about before, where you can speak into it and it speaks back to them, I wish that was capable of doing that offline, because I would do that all the time and talk to people that way. Otherwise, you're typing into the phone or whatever, your tablet, and having it translate, and it just affects the quality of the conversation that you're having. It's not as flowing. So that's
okay.
My biggest pet peeve with that, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so I don't think we've told the audience where you're going next. Do you want to reveal it today, or do you want to wait?
Okay, yeah.
Because I think you can use Google Translate in this new location, or maybe you won't be able to. You tell us.
I think it'll be a good place to use it. So yeah, like Mark said, I'm going to Vietnam next, and I'm actually leaving tomorrow for that out of Northwest Arkansas, layover in Chicago, layover in South Korea, and then finally ending up in Da Nang, Vietnam. And I'm going to spend a few months traveling not only Vietnam, but like Thailand, Cambodia, Laos, Malaysia, Philippines, all those Southeast Asian countries. And they all probably speak their own different languages, and I'm going to have to get all those offline data files for those languages, so I'm prepared.
No, absolutely. And so now that makes sense. We talked about travel vaccines, about why Tony's getting all their shots, because I would say Southeast Asia is pretty humid and kind of not a hub, but the likelihood of him getting a disease there is greater than getting a disease in Arkansas.
yeah
so that should be fun. I think definitely using Google Translate will help you in your travels. Have you been studying any Vietnamese or any Asian language with Duolingo?
No, zero. I think that would just confuse my brain even more.
It is tough. I will say, I mean, I'm obviously Chinese, so knowing kind of the, knowing how Chinese is spoken, and also just hearing Korean and a lot of other Asian languages, it is tough. And they're all different. And to the untrained ear, it does sound very similar and can get very confusing. But overall, I think that hopefully Google Translate doesn't fail you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna bank on it being my savior as well. do you know Chinese?
I know a little bit Chinese. Yeah. Like, I just kind of know when my mom's yelling at me.
How do you say hello? My name is Mark.
Ni hao ma. I don't remember what my name is. I forget.
Your Chinese name, yeah. So
I honestly forget.
Ni mo ha is
ni. So it depends. So you're getting into Chinese, and the dialects of Chinese are really far. There's a lot of dialects.
Which dialect do you know?
So neither. So when I was at Loyola, we took Mandarin, which is pretty much everyone in China speaks Mandarin for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's kind of like going back to the old age, like years ago, like not kind of modern. Mandarin was spoke a lot by the normal folk, okay?
Okay.
And then the other dialect, which I speak, well, my parents speak and my family speaks, is Cantonese. And so that Cantonese is a little bit more formal mm-hmm. of a dialect. But basically, I am technically considered Cantonese.
Okay.
So that's why I speak Cantonese because I'm technically from Canton province
back
in what it was originally called. So if you're speaking in Mandarin, it would just be ni hao.
Ni hao. Okay.
But, ni hao. But if you're speaking in Cantonese, it'd be ni hao ma.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Much different.
So it's a little different and it's kind of Cantonese is a lot more difficult to learn than Mandarin. Because nowadays, Mandarin has become, since it is so popular over there, they kind of tried to teach it to non-Chinese people to make it easier for them to learn. So there's a whole entire course about it. It's the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. I get what you're saying. So do you think that one or the other would phase out eventually, or do you think they're pretty strong, like a lot of people speaking them still?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure since I'm not from mainland. But I don't follow, honestly.
Okay, fair enough.
But what I'll say is that I definitely think Cantonese is... It depends on what your family speaks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some people know both. Some people only know Mandarin. Some people don't know Cantonese. It depends on what you were born and raised with.
Okay.
So I don't know if it'll fade... Like, I don't know if Mandarin will take over. I mean, it has taken over. It's the most popular dialect. And I don't know... if Cantonese will be phased out. What I'll say, it's probably never going to die, but I could easily see kind of Mandarin taking over and then to a greater extent than it is now, and Cantonese kind of slowly fading, but I don't think it's ever going to die.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you, especially since I see here that Duolingo has it available to learn in. So you can...
Cantonese always... and Mandarin or just Mandarin?
They actually don't specify. I see, maybe I have to look through it a little bit harder, but I don't see it up top here in the header.
Just learn hello. It'll tell you once hello.
That's right. Yeah, we know that actually.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So we're running a little, I thought this podcast was going to be a lot shorter, but we're actually at 30 minutes right now.
Me too. Yeah.
So in any case, Tony, have a good trip to the East. The Eastern Conference. Eastern Conferences.
Yeah.
Eastern countries, kind of where I'm from. I'm not from Vietnam whatsoever. Actually, you know what?
What?
I can say I'm from Vietnam because I did a 23andMe screen and I found out that I do have Vietnamese blood and heritage in my body. So I originally thought I was 100% Chinese, but I'm not. I'm slightly less than that, which is confusing.
So would you get a pie chart with like... 97% Chinese.
I think I'm like 75 to 80%. So one of my grandparents was Vietnamese. I'm not quite sure who. I think it's definitely my mom's side, but I don't know which grandparent it was.
Okay, yeah. You don't necessarily have that information, but I would love to talk about this topic. Because, again, I think it like combines technology, travel, and your background, too, with genetics, right?
Yeah, we can do that one time.
Okay.
We can figure that out.
Cool.
Anyways, so moving on forward, obviously, Tony's going to be in a foreign country, so we are unsure of Wi-Fi situation. So this may be the last time both of us, probably not, we'll try to make an effort for both of us to be on the podcast at the same time. But if we get a solo podcast here and there, you know, understand the reason why.
Yep.
And we'll remind you.
Yep. Cool. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Tony, take us out and don't screw it up this time.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the 451 podcast. We will see you next time.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode. Please follow us on Twitter at the 451 Podcast to keep up with the latest news and events. If you have any suggestions for episodes or would like to contact us, shoot us an email at the451podcast@gmail.com.